Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN, our go-to guy for all of this. And it should be your go-to if you're interested in our companion animals and COVID-19, is the American Veterinary Medical Association. And we'll talk with Dr. John Howe, the president of the AVMA, in just a couple of minutes. And I'm grateful that on the show, I mean, last week we had Dr. Scott Weiss on the show. I mean, he's like the Anthony Fauci sort of all of this in the animal world. So I'm so grateful that we get the very best people. And your very best resource is the American Veterinary Medical Association. A lot going on in Chicago with our animal shelters. We'll tell you about that. And if you're COVID positive or know someone who is and they're concerned about their pet, how some animal shelters in Chicago are really stepping up. And also Anti-Cruelty Society for years has done bark in the park. Well, now that's changing just a little bit. And Tracy Elliott, the president of Anti-Cruelty, will tell us how. Veterinary behaviorist Dr. Lisa Radasta, a longtime friend, says, you know what? Our pets need things to do. How do we keep them occupied? Well, we're occupied doing all sorts of other things. So she will tell us, and she has a new ebook out, 27 Cool Ways to Keep Your Dogs Entertained. Dr. John Howe is the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. I am proud to say, a guest on the show many times, it's an unfortunate circumstance, though, Dr. Howe. But I'll tell you, veterinary medicine has been on the forefront of all of this since the pandemic began. And this, to me, is an example of what is called in the profession One Health. And, you know, I had no idea this was coming, but I wrote about how we're going to see a greater importance placed upon One Health, the intersection between animal health and human health. Well, now it's playing out, Dr. Howe, I believe, right before our very eyes.
Yes, it is. Yes. A lot more interaction now between physicians, veterinarians, and environmentalists. We all work together.
You know, I'll ask you the question that I think you get asked every 5 minutes now, but it's still something people want to hear and be reassured by. So can our dogs, can our cats get COVID-19 from us? Isn't it safe to love your dog like you always did and have your cat purr in your ear like you always did?
Yes, it's safe. There's no evidence that dogs or cats spread the virus to people. And to date, we also have no examples of any dogs or cats or livestock naturally infected by their owners and then spreading it to other dogs or cats.
And I want to talk about livestock for just one moment, because there was a concern about pigs in general that the receptor cells for this SARS coronavirus 2, which is the virus that causes COVID-19, that these receptor cells in pigs would be more receptive for the virus. And so far, it turns out that that's not the case, because there would be a concern, valid or not, that it would affect our pork industry. And for those of us that like pork or not, it would make the whole country kosher, I guess, if this happened. But I don't believe that's happening.
Right. That's not happening. There's no evidence that it goes to pigs or any other livestock.
Mm-hmm. There are so many misconceptions out there. The internet can be a great thing, but it can lead us in incorrect directions or directions that we look at and then take inferences from. So let me give you one of those examples. Ivermectin is a compound that you may not know, but hopefully you are using if you have a dog or cat, heartworm preventive, because that can save your pet's life, incidentally, because heartworm can kill. Heartworm's carried by mosquitoes, and the products that work very, very well that we've used now for decades have something in it, a compound called ivermectin. That's the drug. It's an antiparasitic drug, sometimes used for people as well. It's also used for horses. And there was a story about Australian researchers who are very excited about the possibility that ivermectin can treat COVID-19. I don't want to talk about that possibility so much, but I do want to talk about a concern you may or may not have, that people can look at that and say, oh, I'm going to take ivermectin. I'm going to take my dog's heartworm preventive, or worse, I believe, is taking something that would be meant for a horse. Is this a valid concern of yours?
It is a valid concern, because when people look at the research without understanding all the problems associated with that, maybe in extremely high doses, ivermectin might show in vitro antiviral activity, but it requires 50 times the normal dose to be antiviral. And at that dose, when you do that to a dog or a horse or a pig, any animal that we normally give ivermectin to, at that 50 times dose, they will get CNS toxicity. So it'll be toxic to the brain. And if people try doing that type of thing, they could all end up in the emergency room with severe brain disease.
Yeah. And you know, I think what you just said is important. So, you know, it's great that these stories are coming out, and it's exciting that researchers all over the globe are looking at possible therapeutics, but don't take inferences from those stories. And you kind of have to wait till the clinical trials are done to ensure safety and then efficacy once safety is ensured, if it is ensured. Another example, the President of the United States has talked about remdesivir, which is a drug from Gilead, which is a pharma company, a very large pharma company. I know about that for feline medicine because I'm on the board of the Wynn Feline Foundation. We funded a study to look at feline infectious peritonitis, which had always been considered fatal, and that's caused by the feline coronavirus. It's a mutation of the feline coronavirus that happens in some, mostly kittens. So looked at this compound, almost identical, just very, very close to remdesivir, the drug the president talked about, right? All right, so
yes.
Now the concern, the good news is, by the way, it works. This other compound works to cure this once incurable feline infectious peritonitis in cats. Now, remdesivir isn't readily available to the public, and it is being clinically trialed in Chicago, where I live, and all over the country. Is it exciting to you that the two examples I gave are only two examples, there are others, of how veterinary medicine in some ways are involved in what ultimately might be the solution here for a therapeutic or a drug that might help people with COVID-19?
It's very exciting to me. Just seeing the possibility of a drug also that can cure cats from FIP is very exciting.
Yes.
But again, the danger is that people can't take any of these things or even try until there's, you know, trials and the correct doses and all the research is done.
Yeah, but to me, it's not surprising, though, that veterinarians are playing such, and veterinary researchers are playing such a significant role in all of this. And speaking of which, last week on the show, I spoke to the brother and the daughter of a veterinarian, a legend in the Chicago area, in avian medicine in particular, and also helping dogs and cats when they're rescued, when they need medical care, out of the goodness of his heart, Dr. Peter Sakis. And we lost him to COVID-19. I know there's a veterinary behaviorist in just outside Detroit who posted that one of her technicians or nurses was lost to COVID-19. The veterinary profession, like every profession out there, I suppose, losing people. But veterinarians are on the front lines. The good news is veterinarians are well equipped to understand how to protect themselves. The bad news is veterinarians and technicians are human beings who are subject to this virus like everybody else. So, I don't even know what I'm asking you here. I guess this. I just want to make the public aware that attention ought to be focused on also, aside from the human practitioners who deserve that attention, that veterinary professionals are putting themselves out on the line every single day as well.
Yes, they certainly are. And we have recommendations for veterinarians, which most of them know, because biosecurity is a huge issue in veterinary medicine. And so if they follow all the recommendations, and it's important that people call their veterinarian if their pet is sick, too, to see what the veterinarian's recommendation is going to be. If they just pull up in the parking lot, and somebody may come out and ask them questions, you know, through the window at a safe distance and see if the pet can be brought inside and everything done without having the owner go in and expose themselves or expose others. So, and it's difficult right now with a lot of veterinary clinics because veterinarians are pretty big-hearted. And when the need came out for PPEs and masks and that type of thing, veterinarians donated tens of thousands of those to the human side. And so they're on the short side, so, you know, they're re-sterilizing gowns and this type of thing and making masks and doing what they can to help out. But they definitely are on the front lines.
It's absolutely true. And since you represent the profession, I just want to say thank you because pets are, without question, members of our family. And the fact that they've been taken care of through all of this is important to all of us, as now I represent all the pet parents, but it's important to all of us that veterinary professionals, I'm not surprised, but the fact is veterinary professionals have been there for us. And I think this is a shining time for lots of professions. And I believe veterinarians, absolutely one of those professions, and technicians, and the entire veterinary team.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Dr. John Howe, hopefully next time we talk to you, it's about a subject, whatever that subject would be, that is completely different from any of this. I thank you very much. And again, I remind all of you, AVMA.org, that's the website. It's updated daily, sometimes multiple times a day, whenever there is news, whatever is needed, AVMA.org. There is, as Dr. Howe and I spoke about, oftentimes too much misinformation out there online. It's great that you can get things instantly, but what you get may not be reality. Everything at AVMA.org is checked and checked out again and again and again. And also the American Veterinary Medical Association, I happen to know, works on a daily basis in conjunction with the CDC. AVMA.org for more information. Dr. Howe, once again, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You know someone who's COVID positive and they don't quite know what to do with their pets. We might have a solution with Tracy Elliott, president of the Anti-Cruelty Society of Chicago, and ways to keep your dogs entertained. Lisa Radasta, a veterinary behaviorist, will be here to talk about that and a new free ebook she has on that topic. Tracy Elliott, the president of the Anti-Cruelty Society of Chicago. Some good news and then just some news out of necessity. And the good news is what Anti-Cruelty is doing with Chicago Animal Care and Control and also South Suburban Humane Society, all teaming up to do something for our community. Tracy, tell us about that.
We have established a countywide plan for safe housing for animals from hospitalized and quarantined individuals. And so there is a safety net should a number of people need an emergency option for their pets. And it is, I think, a very well thought out plan. And we have lots and lots of capacity. And so you need not worry that if you become ill and need to be hospitalized, that there's a place for your pet to be cared for. And we're also talking about making sure you have a plan. And so I know Steve is going to share that with you, but it's really simple in terms of 3 points to make sure you have a plan. And of course, the final aspect of that plan, if there are no other options, is for County Animal Care and Control to come and get your animal from you and safely transport it to the appropriate place.
And this is nothing that's been being forcibly done. This is if you need help. What you're saying is help is here. We will watch those animals. You're not going to adopt out these animals, that you're going to watch these animals, kennel them, if you will, until you're able to take the animals back. Is that, and this is for dogs and cats?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And we could all also do small mammals. So if you have, you know, guinea pigs or rabbits or something like that. But yes, absolutely. We will care for your pets. And as soon as you are well again and able to take them back, you can bring them back in their home where they belong.
Bark in the Park has been going on for a very long time. It is your big fundraiser. Thousands of people meet, take a beautiful walk in the park. And raise money for the Anti-Cruelty Society for the second time in recent memory. First time was a couple of years ago when the dog flu hit so big. Anti-Cruelty wisely said, you know, it's safer that the dogs not be together in close proximity. Well, similar situation, but now it's not a dog flu. It's a human virus, the novel coronavirus. And you're not having Bark in the Park as you typically do, but you're doing it differently.
We're going from the park to your heart. So it's now called Bark from the Heart. It is a virtual and digital and also a peer-to-peer campaign. So there are all kinds of ways you can participate. No gift is too small, because we hope thousands and thousands of people will participate. I will also say no gift is too large. I have to say that, of course.
Of course.
We are trying to make up for that lost revenue so that we can continue to serve the animals that we have in care right now, and continue to serve those animals that are going to continue to come and need our care throughout. So it's real simple to participate. Anticruelty.org/heart, H-E-A-R-T, and you'll see all the different ways that you could participate.
Which is wonderful, but I want to stress how important this is, because this is your major fundraiser, and who would have thought that you can't have it for this? I mean, some years it may rain, the weather may be cooler, whatever. It's May, it can still happen in Chicago that it'd be cooler outside, but who would ever expect this, or the dog flu came out of nowhere from that happening, you know? So please help out, and it's not only about pet adoptions, it's about all those other anti-cruelty programs as well. Give us the website one more time.
Yes, it is anticruelty.org, O-R-G, /heart, H-E-A-R-T.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, as always. Tracy Elliott, president of the Anti-Cruelty Society. Veterinary behaviorist Dr. Lisa Radasta is very special, because someone else would have said, here are 25 ways. Or someone else would have said, here are 30 ways. But no, she says, here are 27 cool ways to keep your dog entertained. That's the name of an ebook. Very expensive. It is absolutely free from a veterinary behaviorist, no less. Why did you do this book now, Dr. Radasta?
We did it now because dogs are home with their pet parents, and they expect us to keep them entertained, and we are working, and we're stressed, and I feel busier now than I was 2 months ago, just because I'm managing so many different things, like wiping off my groceries. Everything takes more time than it did before. And the other thing I'm concerned about, and I know you are concerned about it too, because I received your newsletter in my inbox, and you mentioned separation anxiety.
Yes.
Because I am deeply concerned that we are going to see a lot of separation anxiety when people go back to work. So I want to, number two, encourage independence. Number three, I don't know if you're concerned about this, Steve, but I'm deeply concerned about the rush on puppies. So this is not a good time to get a puppy, but it is, as I speak to my dog training partners across, you know, my area, Southeast Florida, they say they are inundated with people who are getting puppies. But you cannot socialize these puppies. You can't get them out. So I want to make sure we are laying the foundation right now for an independent puppy, for decreased risk of separation anxiety, for dogs who do not begin to have behavior disorders because of our shelter-in-place system that we're under right now.
Yeah, and I would suggest that it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful that more people are adopting than ever before adult dogs or rescuing dogs. And then we bring them into a home where maybe they were never, have never been, ever. Their new normal is I'm never left alone. And there is some data, different discussion as to whether this data, you know, whether you agree with it, I don't know. But there is some data to suggest that dogs that have been rehomed certainly more than a few times are more likely to have separation distress on top of it. So, yes, all of what you say, I very much agree with. So what are, we don't have time for all 27, but what are just a couple of the ways we can keep our dogs entertained? I'm assuming you are not suggesting that you pick up a microphone and do karaoke. It's probably something else.
No, although some dogs might really like that. But I'm looking for things that help dogs be independent from their pet parents. Let's start with the simple and obvious. Take away that dog's magic bowl. The bowl where magically, with the wave of a wand, food appears twice a day. Take that food and put it into puzzle toys. I love Kongs. I still love them. They still work great, but there are so many other puzzle toys as well. Just Google search dog puzzle toy. Go to your favorite online shopping center and do that. So that's an easy one. But let me talk to you. Well, let me just caution one caution. Dogs are creatures of habit. And if your dog is eaten out of a bowl for his life 5 years, so a regular middle-aged dog, he might be completely shocked to not have a bowl, even though you're giving him that food in a different type of toy. So I want you to slowly wean the dog over to eating his meals out of those food toys. So let me give you one that you might not have thought of, and that is scent. Dogs love to sniff almost universally. So let's add scents to their life. Now, you can do that the way you're probably thinking of tossing treats into the grass in your yard. You can sit in the yard with your computer, and you can work while your dog finds those little bits of food. But you can also purchase online animal scents. And I used to do this for my own dog, and I put those scents on toys. So you can purchase deer scent or duck scent, and I won't tell you what it's made out of because it's gross, but it smells like the animal.
Yeah.
And then the dog interacts with not only the texture of the toy, but the scent of the animal that you've put onto that toy. You can do nose work. Just Google search nose work. You can do that online. There's tons of videos you can watch. And then another thing you can do with scents is you can sprinkle certain spices. We don't want to use pepper or hot sauce, obviously, but you can sprinkle certain spices into the yard so that your dog can sniff those out. So think about all the elements of enrichment: touch, taste, what your dog hears, what your dog smells, and use simple things like your food and the dog's that you usually put in the dog's bowl to enrich your dog.
And the other great thing about the ebook, 27 Cool Ways to Keep Your Dogs Entertained, is it's fun. I mean, you made it fun. Lots of bullet points, nothing in detail to read. And the instructions about how to do these things are really very simple. And you know me, Dr. Radasta, I like simple. Dr. Lisa Radasta, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. Be safe.
So in Lakewood, Washington, state troopers go on a crazy, crazy high-speed chase. The car often exceeds going this way and that way, zigzagging on the road, 100 miles an hour. State troopers finally had to use spikes on the road to stop the driver. The police approached and found an old man in the passenger seat and behind the wheel, a dog. The man was charged with all sorts of things, including some felonies for eluding police. And also he was drunk, so he was charged with that. And the dog went to an animal shelter. Very sweet dog, was adopted into a family that really knows how to care for dogs. We'll talk to you next week right here on Steve Dale's Pet World.